Welcome back to Ag Day 2022 here on WILO. I am Adam Shanks. I'm the Ag and Natural Resources Educator for Clinton County Extension. And I am here with my co-host,
Melissa Miller, and I'm the Ag and Youth Specialist here at WILO and Casper Media. You're going to shove the mic in my hand real fast, aren't you? So, Adam has been a little hesitant. He thought this was a really great idea when we set it up, and then the more he thought about it, he thought, man, that's a lot of women and only me. I want to thank our guests for being here. We are right now getting ready to go into a roundtable on women in agriculture, the great part of it, the reason why we're all in it, and the challenges that everybody has to face with it as well. And I want to thank my guests for being here. Jill Kingery from TTG Equipment. We've already talked about you earlier. We said, yeah, there's a lot of guys out there, but she's the one that runs the show. We got Joelle Oram. Joelle is and her husband are in a production ag program, and she also does a lot with women in agriculture as well. And I'm anxious to really talk to you about a lot of the programs that you do. And of course, Leah Harden. Leah is a natural on all things ag. She'll tell you she's not, but she is with Clinton County Soil and Water District, and she is the district administrator, education coordinator, and no, you are not allowed to retire.
She's a Clinton County staple.
Yep. We've already told her she can't retire, even though she keeps telling us she's going to. Jennifer Marcheski with FMC. She's the retail market manager. We had Jennifer on earlier. And, of course, Jennifer Waite Dutton. Yes, I made sure I got it in there for her husband. Jennifer is with Kokomo Grain and in the marketing division with Kokomo Grain. Ladies, thank you for being here. I love the fact that we have a diverse group. We have people with in agribusiness. We have people in the marketing end of it. We have people who are in production ag, and then we have people who are in the natural resources side of it. So why don't you guys pick up the mic, pass it around, and we'll start with Jill. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, I'm Jill Kingery, and I represent TTG Equipment, your John Deere dealer here in Frankfort. I've been in the ag business going on 30-plus years, personally done everything from sales to service to managing now the store. We're now 9 locations in central Indiana, so we're growing to what used to be 20 employees to now we have 235 employees.
That's huge.
It is. It's really big.
Hi, so I'm Joelle Oram, and my husband and I own Oram Farms over, we're on the eastern tip of Clinton County, and so I have not been a farm girl my whole life. I married into it, and so, you know, I'm a little bit younger generation, and I'm a little bit newer to the industry, but I've learned a lot in the past, I don't know, 13 years of being married, and we do everything from just row crops to custom hay baling, and then our specialty is beef cattle. And so we raise a lot of beef, and we've really grown our business over the past, I would say, 5 years or so. It's kind of exploded. So what I have learned is just how to, jump in and kind of take the reins on things and have to learn the business alongside my husband and things like that. So, we are really working together with his family and things like that to expand the family farm. And so it's kind of a different part of farming than working with, you know, a huge operation or a company, things like that. So we're really boots on the ground.
Nice. I'm Leah Harden, and I also, I'm not a farm girl, didn't grow up on the farm, but have always been interested in the natural resources side of things. Moving to Clinton County, there weren't a lot of opportunities in that area, I thought. And then I learned about the Soil and Water Conservation District and all that it was about, and I found that that was kind of the niche that I wanted to work in. Our agency is quasi-governmental, meaning that we get some of our funding from the local level and some of our funding from the state level. through the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and that's where we get our statutory authority. I work under the direction of five supervisors who are elected or appointed. They are members of your community, and we identify through input from the local community as to what types of natural resource concerns need to be addressed in our community, and then develop a plan and seek technical, financial, educational resources to help address those concerns, and then work with the community to help implement whatever it is that has been identified. So a 20-plus year career with the Soil and Water Conservation District, but I am retiring.
She keeps saying that. We're going to tell her no.
But what I will say is that I do expect to continue to be involved in the ag community in some capacity beyond retirement. You know, 4-H is near and dear to my heart, and, you know, it's been good to my kids. And so the giving back, and, you know, Purdue Extension is great to work with. And I just don't know what that looks like right now. I love her story, you know. So maybe I'll create a small farm, or, you know, develop a small farm and come.
All secretly hoping that you're going to be Tom Brady and decide 2 months of retirement is not worth it. And you'll be back. So,
well, but, you know, if the gas prices continue to rise.
I'm Jennifer Marcheski. Again, I'm a retail market manager with FMC. I live over in Sharpsville, Indiana, and I grew up in agriculture. So, originally from Benton County, grew up in 4-H and FFA, and just have a real passion for agriculture. Purdue graduate, I have to get that in there. Go Boilers. And in sales and marketing with a specialty area in agronomy. And I've been in the ag industry now for about 23 years, and it's all been mainly focused. I spent about 15 years in the seed business, so agronomy and sales, and then managing production location. And then now I'm managing a territory with FMC and the chemical business. So love the ag business. I can't imagine being in any other industry, and really looking forward to visiting with the ladies here today and sharing my knowledge and passion with you.
And I'm Jennifer Waite Dunton. I live over by Middle Fork, and I still live in the family farm that I grew up on with my husband and two kids. Graduated from Purdue with a degree in Ag Econ in 93 and started working for Kokomo Grain as a hedger, and did that, oh gosh, maybe 3-5 years. And then I moved in to the soybean merchandising position. So I merchandise the soybeans for all 7 Indiana locations, and handle the rail logistics for the 5 locations that do rail, and then handle the truck logistics for the Kokomo location. And then I buy corn, beans, and wheat from the farmers. So I'm kind of the jack of all trades.
Yeah. Jennifer's the one that everybody calls. You call up there and somebody else answers the phone. You tell them you want Jennifer. And literally, that's the way it is. Like I said, a very diversified group coming from the aspects, not only from growing up, you know, some from agriculture, some not, and others who, you know, have just kind of found their niche. So going forward with that, why agriculture, for one? You talked to, all of you talked about your love for the agriculture, but why do you think it's so important for women to be involved in agriculture, more so than just, I mean, let's go back to grandma and maybe even a little farther back, because I know how my grandmother was involved. And I'm a lot older than you guys. Let's go back, you know, before it was, everybody thinks, you know, the farm wife, all they did was cook and clean and do laundry and that stuff. Nobody paid attention to the behind the scenes where they were, you know, out maybe slopping the hogs while somebody else was out on the tractor or, you know, doing putting in the crops. They may not have necessarily been out in the field, but they were doing their part. And look at where we're at now. The majority, what was it, 59% of production ag in all aspects are women. You know, we're over half now that we are the managers, we are the producers, we are the owners, the whole kit and caboodle. Why do you think that expansion has happened, and why do you feel like, why is it important now for us to be focusing on this, get that word out there that women are involved and a key part of it? So just anybody grab a mic and just jump in there. I want all of you to answer that question from your perspective.
Okay, thanks, Melissa. Well, when you look at it, and from our age and the different age groups we are here, I mean, women in agriculture, we are the bookkeepers, we are the caretakers, we are the food preparers, we are the people that work in the small ag business. So we're already doing it, but to get out into the workforce in the ag business, we bring a passion to what we do. We bring an expertise, I'll just say that. And we are detailed, we're oriented, we're loyal. You know, behind every good man, there's a great woman, right? So it is, right? I'm sorry, sorry. But technology has brought it so far advanced that there's not really a job we can't do and do a good job at it. And you see that more and more every day in our field of the industry, that more of the daughters are coming home to help dad. You know, you come in and they know how to do it. And the equipment technology is allowing more females to be involved and run that GPS business and all the aspects.
I'll add to what you said. There's not much we can't do, but there's also not much that we won't try to do. I think we, I don't know, women add a very unique layer to the industry, and I think, you know, we provide something a little bit different, and I don't know if it's just our intrinsic nurturing capabilities or our alertness. You know, I'm the official safety manager of our farm, and, you know, I feel like I have the ability to see all the parts moving at one time, even if they're not right in front of me. And because of that, I think women kind of fill the gaps a little bit. So, you know, you might have all these operations going and all these projects and things like that, but you know, if you think of them like bricks, there has to be mortar between them to hold them together, and something has to fill those gaps and you know, tie the things together and make sure that everything is that all the plates are spinning at one time and none of them fall. And so I don't know, I think women just add a unique layer that you know, we don't always sign up for the jobs that we have. We are sometimes just given them, and sometimes we marry into them, you know, like I did. But then as your operation grows, your role changes too. And so you, even if you aren't managing a family, maybe you are running a farm by yourself or an ag business by yourself, your role is constantly changing because the industry is constantly changing. And so it's not like you can, I mean, there are tons of educational programs out there, especially with Purdue Extension, things like that. But a lot of times, you know, we didn't prepare for this. It's, you just had to learn it.
I agree with her. I saw a quote recently, and it was, if you teach a man to farm, he will feed his family. But if you teach a woman to farm, she'll feed the community. And so I think maybe that's what Joelle was saying. It's similar. I just think that women have a different perspective that they can bring to the operation. And just like the quote, I think that they are more community-oriented and want to bring about a change in their community, make sure that, you know, those that are hungry are fed and those that are uneducated or educated about what farming and agriculture are all about. And you see evidence of that in, you know, our young people who are becoming involved in small farm operations, which, you know, just the what is a farm, you know, it's not just a grain operation anymore. It's you know, that person raising, you know, a flock of chickens for the, you know, straight to market, direct to market kind of opportunity, or flower farms. We're seeing, you know, lots of young farm wives, you know, in addition to what their husbands are doing, they're developing their own types of operations, and they're becoming involved in not just the industry itself, but in the, you know, the farm bureaus and, you know, some of those outreach organizations that are promoting agriculture. So I think for me, that's, you know, what women bring to the ag industry.
I think I'll just kind of add a perspective from the business side. And, you know, as I think about when I first started in my ag career, many of the meetings I went to, I was the only female in the room. And it has been so exciting to see that change over time. And I'm sure we all have stories that go, you know, that can relate to that. But I think when I look at the team that I work on with FMC, I think the women bring an interesting perspective. You know, I think we bring a focus to detail. I think that we bring some new and creative ideas, but we all have the same passion that the others do on our team as well. So I just think it's the giving, you know, us the ability to share that same passion on our team, you know, and I think it just brings some unique perspectives at times.
Well, I guess in my perspective, when I was getting started, it was a little bit different for me. I wanted to be of service to people, and I knew I was going to be terrible at nursing because I couldn't handle the blood and guts of it. But I could handle agriculture because I'd grown up with it. I knew it. I understood it. I liked it, and I could be of service to farmers, you know, to help them, you know, set up their grain marketing plans, help them make their grain marketing decisions. And then it was kind of twofold, too, because you were right. It was different for our grandmothers.
Yeah.
My dad died in 83. Men treated women differently back then.
Yes,
and
I
don't mean to be sexist and play that card, but it was different. And I remember how men treated mom back mm-hmm. then as the woman running the farm. And I guess I was determined that it wasn't going to happen to me, and I wasn't going to let that happen to other women in that position. So that's part of the reason I wanted to become a grain merchandiser, you know, to help those women that ended up in that position, you know, if the husband passed away, that, you know, I could help explain to them how the marketing section worked, or, you know, encourage their husbands to bring the women in or bring their wives in early and talk to them about marketing so that they weren't so left in the cold if, God forbid, you know, the worst came to be. And
right.
Life happens. You know,
yeah.
You don't know when it's going to happen, but it's eventually going to happen. So that's pretty much why I chose, you know, what I chose for agriculture.
I had a front row seat to that. For those of you who don't know, Jennifer grew up next door.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what she's talking about. And just next door, she had a totally different perspective of it because my father-in-law and my mother-in-law farmed together. It was 50-50 I'm going to say it was 60-40 because she was still had to do all the cooking and all the cleaning and
yeah,
and all that. But as soon as, you know, she did the sit-down lunch, we all came in, we sat down, and I married into it. Same as you, Joelle. I married into a farming operation and quickly learned how to run the hog barns because everybody else was out on a tractor. And I was scared to death to get on one of those big pieces of equipment. That was just me. So I ran the hog barns while they did that stuff. And, I mean, they did it together. As soon as lunch was over with, the dishes got hurried. We hurried up and hand-washed everything because she didn't have a dishwasher. We did the hand wash, and she ran out and trawled on a tractor, and she was gone.
Yeah.
So, totally different perspective than what you grew up with.
Right.
So, we were just seeing both sides of it then, and started seeing more and more, taking on more. And I even crawled in a tractor before it was over with. And my daughter was driving a tractor at 8 years old. So total flip on that side of it. But I think from my perspective, too, I think women are, detailed, extremely detailed, but I think we handle multitasking so much better. No offense. Because I know a lot of guys who can multitask. I really do, and you're one of them. Oh, the heck you aren't. I see all the stuff you juggle. It's crazy.
Every time I get, it's got to be done before I can move on to the next.
Yeah, to an extent, but not always. But, you know, I think that's just a forte that we are born with. I think we're just naturally multitaskers. And in agriculture, no matter what side of agriculture you are, I think you have to be able to multitask. And we just handle it better. Let's face it. We handle the stress. Yeah, I'm going to be a little sexist. We handle the stress better, too.
I was trying not to be sexist. Dude. Is why I didn't know what
that. Yeah, well, it's called Women in Agriculture for a reason. So, but, yeah, I mean, I see the stress side of it, too, being on both sides of it, being in agribusiness, being on the production side of it, and now doing the communications, ag communications side of it. I've seen different different facets of it, and I think we do handle the stress better too, as well. So, yeah.
Or we hide it better.
Yeah, that's probably it, right? Yeah. There. We do hide it better.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
I guess this is kind of on our list, but I don't want to go down the sexist road. But I'm sitting here looking at some very important women in the industry.
Definitely.
What barriers have you had trouble, Jennifer, old-time farmers, did they have trouble trusting you to take care of their marketing? Leah, did old-time farmers maybe have trouble trusting you, you know, with their conservation plan? You know, is there barriers like that? Have you faced those? How did you overcome those?
In the beginning, yes, because I was young. I was fresh out of college, and I get it. I had to learn as I was going. I had to learn about the markets on the fly and learn about grain marketing. But as I got more confident in myself and more confident in being able to read the grain markets, then I was able to prove myself to them. And so once I was able to prove myself to them, then they started, you know, turning to me more and more. And they learned, and it's kind of hard for me to say this because my parents taught me to be modest, but they learned that I'm a problem solver. And I've had several customers tell me over the years, if they've got a problem, they want to come to me because they know I will help them get it solved, or I will go to bat for them and with the higher-ups in the company and help them get it solved. And not necessarily another man in the company would do that, but I would. So, yes.
You had a competitive edge in the company that drove that, overcome that barrier.
Yeah, I feel like, yes.
Great.
Well, and I'll toot your horn just a little bit because I, just from my observation as a producer's side of it, one of the things that we appreciated, and I appreciate of all of you because I've dealt with all of you on different things, and the fact that you're willing to help somebody, even if in the long run, especially in agribusiness, they don't become your customer. Mm-hmm. You still help. You still give them the advice they need. You still give them, you know, all the information that will help them be a better producer, a better manager, a better marketer, whatever, whether or not the outcome is in your favor or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's not a lot of men out there that will do that. There are some. I'm not going to cut them all off at the knees because this is one sitting right next to me that is that way. And but I think that's one thing that I have observed with all of you, every one of you, even Joelle. I've heard stories from my children how helpful you are no matter what. So I think that's huge. I mean, you guys are the testament to women in agriculture. So, yeah, talk about the adversities that you guys have faced all the way through.
So something that I have personally faced is just intimidation and kind of like an imposter syndrome mix of that together. I think, you know, with the ag industry, that's a really blanket term. I mean, there's all kinds of different facets of it. And I mean, even today when I met these lovely ladies, I wanted to learn about what they did. And then, you know, I may not be an expert in their industry, but I think when you are, you know, knee deep in an industry, you feel like you need to be educated on it, and you need to know everything about it so that you can sound educated and things like that. So I think with being a woman in ag, you know, women sometimes don't always open up all the way, or maybe we have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder sometimes. And I that's something that we have to work on, and be able to coach other women in ag and be able to loop them in and say, it's okay to not be an expert. You know, people come to me all the time and they think I know all these things about gardening, and I do not. And I mean, they think, oh, you're a farmer. You have, you know, you've got acres and you have livestock and things like that. No, I do not know how to garden very well. And, you know, that's an ongoing joke between me and my girlfriends. But I have this house plant that I kept bragging about. It was just growing and growing and growing. And I was like, I can't believe I've kept that alive. You know, my husband very kindly reminded me that he's the one that's been watering it every day. So, you know, it's, you know, we sometimes assume things of other women, you know, when we're together, but we don't realize the areas that we need to learn in, or the areas that we need someone to throw us a rope and, you know, pull us up to their level a little bit and educate us on, and vice versa. So.
So I like to share this story when I first started in the industry. And this is, again, 23 years ago. So it's definitely, I don't think, like this today. But I had an offer from a company, and I went to visit that company. The headquarters had hired me. They were positioning me in a local plant, and they wanted me to go meet all of the people at that plant and make sure it was going to be a good fit. And so I remember traveling to that location and meeting with the manager there, and I would be reporting to the agronomist in that area at that location. And I met with the manager. We had a great conversation. We hit it off. And before I left, I asked if the agronomist was there, because I would be working with him. And he said, no, the agronomist wasn't there that day. Well, I left. I didn't think much of it. He told me a little bit about him, and then the manager called me and said, we'd love to have you at our plant. And so I was really excited. I went in and was talking to the manager on the first day, and he enlightened me that the agronomist was a little nervous about working with a female. He had never worked with a female, and he was a little nervous about having one report to him. And that was the reason he wasn't there the day I was there. And talk about feeling a little uncomfortable. So, you know, I didn't let that bother me. I just stuck to learning the job and working with the guys and the team that I was involved with. And I happened to be working at a seed facility. And so we made it through detasseling. And anybody that works in the seed business knows detasseling is a very busy time. And at the end of that season, the agronomist came to me and he said, well, I want you to know I was a little nervous about you working with me. I was a little uneasy about having a girl on the team. But, man, you proved me wrong. He said, you're just like one of the guys. And, you know, I think that was kind of a learning point for me. I mean, yes, I am a female, but, man, I can do anything that any of those guys could do. And I think we just have to give it, you know, give us a chance to show that and build that respect. So I like to share that story because, like I said, I don't think it's that drastic these days. But that was, I guess, my experience.
Well, I guess I'll take mine a lot farther back. Yeah, kind of out of high school, you know, I went to an old Alice Chalmers dealership to be part-time in the office. Well, about 6 months into that, the parts guy got ill and had to be off. So I got thrown in the parts counter. So at that point in time, a female was not to be behind the parts counter. You didn't know anything about selling tractor parts or combine parts. There was no computers. You did everything by hand. So it was pretty simple to get out a book. You pointed the picture and you go, is that what you want? You know, it was, you know, they wouldn't call it a farmer never called a nut. He would call it a tap. So you had to learn the language. Yeah. So then as the years went on in my second part of my career, I was selling petroleum. So I would actually go to the farmer's house, knock on the door. Well, no one's going to turn a lady away knocking at the door when you're at their tool shed. So, you know, you got your foot in your door, okay. And then when they found out what you were there to sell them, you know, they were kind of standoffish, but you got it done. And then my career went into, you know, the John Deere part, and I've done multiple tasks there. But the biggest thing I really learned from it was I earned their trust. I was their friend. I was true to my word. I followed up. And when you do all those things in life, no matter what you're doing, you earn credibility and you earn their trust. And as Leah and the Jennifers, and if we've been in the same role at the same place for many years, those people now are our best friends, and we have relationships, and that's what being successful as a woman in the ag business is, the relationship part of it, I think, that carries you on. So.